Hi, everyone. This is The Crime Cafe, your podcasting source of great crime suspense and thriller writing. I'm your host, Debbie Mack. Before I bring on my guest, I'll just remind you that The Crime Cafe has two ebooks for sale, the 9-book box set and the short story anthology. You can find the buy links for both on my website, debbiemack.com, under the Crime Cafe link. You can also get a free copy of either book if you become a Patreon supporter. You'll get that and much more if you support the podcast on Patreon, along with our eternal gratitude for doing so. But first, let me put in a good word for Blueberry Podcasting. I'm a Blueberry affiliate, but that's not the only reason I'm telling you this. I've been using Blueberry Podcasting as my hosting service for my podcast for years, and it's one of the best decisions I ever made. They give great customer service. You're in complete control of your own podcast. You can run it from your own website. And it just takes a lot of the work out of podcasting for me. I find for that reason that it's a company that I can get behind 100% and say, you should try this. Try Blueberry. It doesn't require a long-term contract, and it's just a great company, period. And it also has free technical support by email, video, and phone. So you can get a human being there. Isn't that nice? Hi, everyone. My guest this week is the award-winning author of several novels, including one that I read called Dry Heat, which I really liked a lot. Like many authors, he started off in another career before he started writing. It's my pleasure to introduce my guest, Len Joy. Len, hi.
Hi. Thank you very much for having me. I never thought of myself as a crime writer, but as I look at my work, I do have a lot of crime in there. So happy to be part of this.
Absolutely. Well, I am glad to have you on. That's for sure. Right there. Now I finally have you. Okay. I wanted to ask you particularly about Dry Heat because I loved it so much. What was it that inspired you to write this novel?
This was one of the novels, a few novels I think I wrote that it really did and was inspired by a specific incident. In my earlier career, I had an engine remanufacturing company in Phoenix with my brother-in-law. We ran that for almost 20 years. It was a down and dirty, gritty manufacturing operation. We had like 200 employees about at any given time. And I had a very trusted employee, a woman and her husband that worked for me in the office. And their son, who I knew, I think he had just turned 18 and he was out hot rodding, on the interstate on a Friday night, and not sure whatever happened, but they basically were dueling with another car, and somebody in the vehicle he was in shot at the other car. Didn't hit anybody, but it turned out that the other vehicle was driven by off-duty policemen, and he was arrested. He was the only adult, 18 years old, and the other three were underage. And he was charged with attempted murder of a police officer, which is a serious crime. I mean, it's more serious penalties. Even though nobody was hurt, it was a, whatever. And I don't believe he was the one shooting, but nevertheless, he was arrested. And, I followed this with, obviously, the parents was, as a father, and, I had a kid about the same age as Tim, and it's just like he's instead of going to college, he's going to trial, and they have this lawyer and they're going to pretrial conference. They're going to fight this. I think they have a good case. They come back in the afternoon and they tell me that, they basically presented him with the alternative of, if you lose at trial, you could go to jail for 20 years, or you can take a deal and you go to prison for 3. And then they took the deal. But that just stuck with me. Like, that's such a, not just for the kid, but for the parents to have to make that decision in an instant. And it changes your whole direction of your life. That was 20 years ago, and I started writing after that, and it was just something, I followed their story. I mean, he went to prison, he came out. I stayed in touch with his mother. My business ended 2003, so I wasn't no longer in Phoenix, but it was a story that interested me. And after I'd written a couple other novels, I decided not to use that story per se. I mean, his story is his story, but I wanted that incident inspired me, I guess, in a way, to try to write about that kind of event where you're heading in one direction and something happens and your whole life changes. And I like sports, so I put in a, I always make it a, somehow an athlete involved. But that was the inciting incident, I guess, that got me to write it. The book is, the story is totally different, but I have shared it with my employee and with Tim, who was the inspiration for it, and they liked the book, so I'm
That's
satisfied on that.
great. Yeah, that's great. It just, wow, it all just seems so unfair and circumstantial. And yet, this person just dealt with it.
I mean, you shouldn't be playing with guns, but cops shouldn't probably
Right.
be driving up and down this, harassing people either. So it
Did
was
he
a
know
tough
there was a
lesson
gun
to learn.
there? I mean, all those things. Well. So tell me about your other books. What sort of how would you describe them generally? What genre?
Well, that's a good question on genre. I mean, whenever I try to find it, it's like I can't, like commercial, literary fiction, something. But there's basic premise. If I find a theme, it's mostly I'm writing about people, mostly former athletes, just because that's something I can write about that I know. But it's their life after the cheering stops. Like either they've had some kind of like in Better Days, as an example, as a high school basketball star, Darwin Burr wins his state championship in a small town in Illinois. And when the story opens 20 years later, I mean, he's been coasting on that glory, if you will, for all those years, not really taking charge of his life and, the incidents in the story that forced him to get back in the game and do, take action. But in American Pastime, the first book I wrote, that was in some degree inspired by, I watched baseball a lot, and they had a pitcher in the for the Chicago Cubs who had a perfect game going right to the last pitch, literally. And the umpire on a close call called it a ball, so he lost his perfect game. He walked the runner, and it's like, all right, I'm gonna use that somehow. And I wrote a story about a minor league baseball player who does pitch a perfect game, but it injures his arm and he never makes it. He's gonna make it to the majors, and then that causes him not to make it. And he goes to work in his factory in a small town, and it's the life, lived after that, near almost making it. And because I always like, I watch the Olympics and all these, you see all these, stories of glory and stuff, but there's a lot of people who are really good athletes that don't make it that far, but they work really hard, and then they have to have another life afterwards. So that interested me, so I use that as fodder for the stories.
That's fascinating. That's really interesting. How much research do you do when you're writing your books?
Well, I'm very grateful for Wikipedia and Google.
Aren't we all?
I do write about, having a little older than a lot of writers, I have a lot of experience, like manufacturing experience. So I use that, I don't branch off into something that I don't know anything about, because I don't have enough time. But I using those years, I wasn't writing as my experience base. So I always write, I like to, I like a lot of them I'd set in certain time periods, like the book I'm writing now It's taking place in 1981. It's taking place over 30, 40 years, but I always go on to Wikipedia and see, like, okay, we're in 1984 now. What happened in 84? I want to make an incident so I can anchor the readers, and it's going to be like June or July, and then I look and I say, oh, that was when OJ had his slow speed police chase. So that's an event I can have
There
him watching
you
with his buddies on the bar, because I was doing that. So, and that people can relate to that if they were around at that time.
Very interesting. I like the idea of writing about the past because then I don't have to worry about technology as much.
Yeah, I mean, cell phones changed everything for like writing scenes, and like if you look at a Law and Order in the pre-cell phone age, they're it's a different timing of the scene, because they have to call into the office or the dispatch, and now it's everything is zoom, zoom, zoom. Like it's just.
Exactly, yeah. It's wild. What kind of writing schedule do you keep?
Well, I work out every morning. I'm a triathlete, and I have like sort of a very scheduled do swim or bike or run, or and I walk my dog in the morning early. And then I always say I start about 10 o'clock, but I thought about that, and I'm really from about 10 to noon, it seems like I'm doing other stuff, like checking the email and reviewing, like I look at the books and how they're doing on Amazon. But usually start by noon, and I try to get a couple 2, 3 hours in. And I'm generous in what I also spend a lot of time reviewing other people, which I think is part of my reviewing or my writing process, because it helps to see what other people are doing and what works and doesn't work. But I try to get 2 or 3 hours in every day, maybe not on Sunday or something, doing something else. But I think as a triathlete and someone training, there's sort of a good complementary discipline. I mean, they're both things where you're doing it every day. You're not like showing up on race day and expecting to run and or a marathon or whatever. And that's why I found, for me, novels were I wrote a lot of short stories, and I like flash fiction and even some poems, but I think novels have worked the best for me, because it's just something I can plot out and take the day at a time and just keep working at it. And takes about a year and a half, 2 years, it seems like, to get it finished.
Yeah, exactly. You take your time with it, you build it out just bit by bit. Stick
Yeah,
with
I
it.
like to go back and forth. Like some people write the whole thing and then revise. I like to revise, so I just like I'll write one day and then I'll revise what I wrote the next day. Sort of. So I usually, when I finish my draft, it's a pretty clean draft. It might, the story might not work and I need to fix that, but it's not rough from a, it's readable anyway. So I can find someone to make them read it.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good way to do it. What advice would you give to anyone who's interested in a writing career?
You just have to all. I think the advice if someone like me that's come out of school, I wanted to be a writer when I was in school, and I got sort of crushed by a English professor when I was like 18 and impressionable, and decided I didn't have the skills to write, so I switched. I just changed my major. It was probably better for me. I went into business, but I would say a couple things. Don't. It's good to get feedback. Don't take it to heart, and which is easy to say. It's tougher when you're young. Now it's like I look back at what I was the critiques, and they weren't that bad. I mean, I shouldn't have been so sensitive about it. But most importantly, when I went back to, I just started. I took a. It was like 2003. I got this flyer from the University of Chicago's Graham School, offering a creative writing course. And just on a whim, I took it. But learning thinking you can write in is just like training. I mean, you need to be trained. You need to take classes, I think, most people. I mean, some people are just gifted natural writers, but there's just a lot of building blocks, how to, set themes, how to write dialogue, punctuation, and simple things like that. You just need to learn that. And I felt fortunate. I went to Iowa School of the Festival, not the MBA or the MFA program, but they had great classes. And like I would building blocks, like try to write a story in 300 words, which is a great discipline to have, and just because then you learn not to get bloated long novels like a lot that I read.
Yes, there's a lot of that out there, unfortunately. Let's see. What authors have inspired you most, your own writing? What authors do you look to for inspiration?
Well, I like Elmore Leonard. I mean, earlier I think Hemingway, because I write purely spare writing, not a lot of rumination, not a lot of introspection, maybe not enough. But I like to read those writers like that, and Richard Price. Just for the how they do stuff and construct scenes and tell stories through dialogue, which is how I mostly convey my stories. But I have to say, like before I was writing, I was trying to read everything Joyce Carol Oates wrote, which is almost impossible. I don't know how anyone can write that much. But and she, I don't even know how to pigeon typecast her. I mean, she just writes about so many different subjects, and it's just impressive. That's one of my favorite authors, I guess.
Very cool. And what are you working on now?
Well, what I the first novel I wrote was called American Pastime, and it was this dancer, stonemason's a young minor league pitcher, and his career unravels when he can't make it to the majors. And it's a story that really covers the post-war era from the early 50s through the Vietnam War. And he's got two sons and a wife, and had lots of difficulties. And it when it ends, well, originally what I had when I tried to get it published was a 50-year saga, that went through like 2000. And I told by I got someone at Grove Atlantic to read it. I had some contact there, and they weren't discouraging, but they said you need it's too long, especially for a debut novelist. You need to cut it in half, which is tough, but it was a helpful advice, and I did. I stopped it. I cut out a whole storyline and characters and generations, and finished it, and it made a It was a good first novel, I think. And but I had all this material, and after I wrote Better Days, which was my second novel about the basketball player, I thought, no, I'll use that somehow. And I ended up, after a lot of permutations, writing, taking the same character as who was a young man in the 50s, and making him, I would call him an old man, but he's probably about my age now. But he's at the end of his life, or getting closer to it. And the whole novel, it's in the same small town in Missouri, and it takes place. It's really a road trip story between him and a young soldier, but a tornado is descending on the town, and the whole novel takes place in a single day. So it was a nice change of a nice framework. I went from 30 years to one day, and it's a different kind of writing challenge. So that's to answer your question, though. And then I'm writing now the story that will make this a trilogy, because it's going to bridge the it's the son it the sort of the estranged son of Dancer Stonemason, from his boyhood up through 2000 or 2003. So It'll end just before the Everyone Dies Famous, my third novel, begins. So then
Wow.
I can stamp in a, people like series, I've been told, so now I'll have a series, but it will be totally a stand, it is a standalone novel, but hopefully all the people that read the other two novels will also buy that and be
So it's kind
interested.
of a quasi series, sort of a series
Yeah.
that you've cobbled together almost
Right.
accidentally.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Now I could have a box set, you know.
I was going to ask you if you did were thinking about doing a series at any point, and apparently you are.
Yeah, in a way,
In
yes.
a way, kind of a series. Interesting. Linked standalones, call
Yeah.
them maybe. Well, there's a way to, yeah, you can call that a series as far as I'm concerned. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we finish up?
No, I appreciate this opportunity. I love to talk about my books and writing, and I like to meet other writers. So I, I'm hope people are interested in what I'm doing, and I have a nice email newsletter I send out. So I'd love to get people to sign up for that at some point. And I'm not too harassing. I just send something out about once a month. I try to promote other indie writers, and do reviews. I make some use out of the reviews I've written and share them with other readers.
It's a laudable thing,
Yeah, I
promoting
think we have to
others.
do that.
I think we all should just all get together and promote each other, frankly,
Yeah,
because we
I
can all
agree.
use the help. I think that's it then. If you feel like you've said everything you want to say.
Yeah, well, I think so. Thank you.
Okay, well, it's been a pleasure having you on. Thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
And on that note, I'll just say to everyone, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, please leave a review. And if you would, subscribe to the YouTube video or give us a like there. Both, hopefully. And check us out on Patreon. I have a Patreon page where I have bonus episodes, ad-free episodes, and all sorts of other perks for Patreon supporters. So until next time, when my guest will be Charles Salzberg, take care and happy reading.